Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for who you are and what you're doing with this church. I thank you, Father God, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father God, I thank that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has been poured out upon your people, Father. And all we have to do is to understand it. Tonight I'm asking you, Father, to open up every spiritual ear so they can hear and understand what you're saying to us tonight. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and the angelic host that's here in this building this night. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight, you know, God's called this everlasting faith. And I had a hard time with this because it's deeper than what we understand. There's more to it than what he's saying to us. And we just have to let our ears be open and dig into what God's really saying to us tonight. And I know that he's going to give us even more revelation on this. So he's called it everlasting faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." See, we don't have to be sickly. Enoch was, and then he wasn't. God just whisked him right on up into heavenly places. Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." You know, God just told Noah, start building an ark. And by faith, and they had no water in them times, all right? And so by faith he just started building this big boat. And what did everybody do? They laughed and mocked him, didn't they? And verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." You know, nowadays when God says, you have to move, they'll say, "Where? And where am I going to get the money? And is the house all prepared?" and all that. But all Abraham did was, he just, when God told me he was to move, he had moved, right? And verse 9, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, the innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." If Abraham would not have obeyed God, you and I wouldn't be here. You have to stop and think about that. So when God's asking you to do something, you need to be like Abraham and the rest in the Bible that walk by, and just step out there in faith and do whatever God's asking you to do, because you don't know who is going to be touched by your faith. See that? "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead," and in other words, he was of old age, "were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude." Now, this is God speaking. Listen carefully to what he's saying. I need my children to walk in everlasting faith. This is a faith that will not falter nor fail, no matter what the circumstances in life are. Now, I like to warm my computer out looking for everlasting faith. I can find everything but everlasting faith. And I was searching and searching for hours, and I said, God, you know, I like to have everything backed up by Scripture. And God said, I told you what everlasting faith was, so right here it is. I need my children to walk in everlasting faith. This is a faith that will not falter nor fail, no matter what the circumstances in life are. That's what everlasting faith is. And I'll explain more in a little bit. God said, this is a faith that will remove any mountain of adversity that the enemy places in front of you. This is a faith that will not be watered down by the adversary, no matter what he throws your way. Are you listening to this? I need my children to walk in everlasting faith. This is a faith that will not falter nor fail, no matter what the circumstances in life are. This is a faith that will remove any mountain of adversity that the enemy places in front of you. This is a faith that will not be watered down by the adversary, no matter what he throws your way. I need you to walk in this everlasting faith daily. I need you to come to the conclusion that no matter what life holds, I am greater than the problem. Now, are we listening here? I need you to walk in this everlasting faith daily. I need you to come to the conclusion that no matter what life holds, I am greater than the problem. For you see, little ones, there is coming upon the land a time of great tribulation, as a church has never before seen. And it is going to take this mountain-moving faith to prevail in the midst of the mightiest storms to ever invade this planet. For you see, little ones, there is coming upon this land a time of great tribulation, as a church has never before seen. And it is going to take this mountain-moving faith to prevail in the midst of the mightiest storms to ever invade this planet. In Matthew 24, verses 21 and 29 uses tribulation in a context denoting afflictions of those hard-pressed by siege and the calamities of war. And Matthew 24:21 says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. I want to stop there, because when God said about the tribulation, and then I read about the tribulation, I studied a lot about the tribulation before I finished this. We are in a very serious time in the kingdom of God. I don't know how all this is going to play out, but I do know that God is getting our faith prepared right now to stand firm with what he knows is coming our way. And then we read over here in Matthew 24:22, Jesus says, Matthew 24:21 said, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Who's the elect? His body. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Jesus is saying here that we have to have everlasting faith, because we're going to be in a time of great tribulation. Then he says, if anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or there, do not believe. In other words, people are going to say Jesus is coming because of the tribulation that the world is going to go through. Then Jesus said, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as a lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, I want to stop there. We're going to go through a great tribulation. I don't know what kind of tribulation. I don't know. Wars and famine. I don't know. But we're going to go through this great tribulation. And people are going to say Jesus is coming or Jesus is here. And it isn't. That isn't his time. This will not be his time to come. God's already told us, and we know the false prophets and false preachers are already on the scene. They're already in the houses of God, you know, leading people astray. We already know that's happened. So I want you to be very, very alert and very in tune to God's voice so that the enemy does not pull you off course. You have to be very, I'm hearing God say, very diligent in listening for his voice so that he can lead you in the path that he wants you to go in. Then verse 29, Jesus tells us, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The tribulation is coming. God's already told us we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We already know we're in that dispensation of time. We already know we're working in the end times. I don't know when Jesus is coming, and you don't either, but I know we're working in a 40-year period of time, and I'm not saying Jesus is going to come in this time. I'm saying we are working in a 40-year period of time, and we're going to have wars and rumors of wars. This morning I was walking through the living room, and they had TV on, and I think it was in New York. These people were trying to find themselves. Did you see that? And they're dressing really weird. They're wearing angel wings and have these like feathers for, the men have feathers for eyebrows, and they have all kind of makeup on and all kind of clothes on. And this one man started this, and all these people are following him now, and all these people are trying to find themselves, trying to find out who they really are because they've been deceived by their parents, and now they're trying to find out for themselves. Now, this is, that itself is a tribulation with all that junk going on, because then you have to keep your children. Well, we should be keeping our children prayed up anyhow, but we have to keep our children prayed up so that they don't fall in that trap of this man who is leading these people astray. It's just not young kids either, it's older people. Then God said, the adversary is throwing all of hell at the church at this given time, and he is not going to relent of his troublesome ways. Everybody you talk to, they say, I have never gone through the problems I'm going through now. Everybody I talk to says that. Or everybody calls to talk to me about it. What's going on? They say, well, why are we going through all these troubling times? And what does he say? The adversary is throwing all of hell at the church at this given time, and he is not going to relent of his troublesome ways. But if you can grasp onto the everlasting faith, you will always be the overcomer, and there won't be anything the enemy can throw your way to take you off course. See why you have to get this everlasting faith? You see, little ones, I have placed your feet on a different course in this new era, and this new course will bring much upheaval to the throes of hell. The enemy will be dislodged, and he will have to fight. Are you ready for this fight? Let's read that again. You see, little ones, I have placed your feet on a different course in this new era, and this new course will bring much upheaval to the throes of hell. The enemy will be dislodged, and he will have to fight. Are you ready for this fight? You know, as you do deliverances and get these people set free, the enemy is being dislodged. He's not happy with anything that you're doing. Believe me, he's not. And he's going to come after you. He's really going to come after you. I'm hearing God say, in ways he's never come after you before. And God's saying, so be alert and be in control of your walk with God. Then God said, if your everlasting faith is in contact, you will know that the enemy has no power, no matter what he throws at you. You must at all costs be prepared to step out in faith to accomplish all that I'm asking you to accomplish in this hour of great devastation. You hear that? You must at all costs be prepared to step out in faith to accomplish all that I'm asking you to accomplish in this hour of great devastation. If you read about the people that walked by faith in the Bible, they didn't question anything. They just did what God told them to do. They walked by faith. not even knowing most of the time what was going to be happening. They just stepped out there and did what God told them to do. Then God said, many will leave me at this given time because they have not built up their faith to the point where the enemy cannot destroy it. That's why you're going to see even a greater falling away than you've already seen, because people don't have faith. They'll lose all their trust in God. And so they just don't want to fight, and they'll just fall away. They'll just quit. Do you understand why God is calling us to such a deep walk with Him? He wants us to walk deeper than we've ever walked before. He's going to give us great revelation. I'm here to say He's going to give us great revelation. Revelation that has not been revealed before. And because of this revelation that He's going to give you, the enemy's going to come after you. Because He does not want you to carry that revelation to a church that He's trying to destroy. God said, I told you years ago it was time to start building up your most holy faith. Didn't He tell us in here? He told us in here. But most did not heed my voice, and now they will have to scramble to build up their faith. It's better to have your faith there before the fight than trying to get your faith in the middle of the fight. The opposition is great, but I am greater still. Always remember that. Have I not promised that I would give my angels charge over you? Have I not promised that as you keep your eyes upon me, that I will fight your battles for you? The hour is upon you, church, where you are going to have to fight as never before. God has told us that if we would just do His works and He would fight our battles for us. And that, you know, He just said He did that, and it is what He did. But how many really picked that up and held it close to your bosom? You know, this is not a cakewalk. You have to understand this. What we're headed into, what we've already headed into, is not a cakewalk. It is all-out war. And you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be a true warrior. God told me to take down the warrior sign because you're not true warriors. So, you know, some of you are going to have to start working on your faith walk. Have I not promised I would give my angels charge over you? Have I not promised that as you keep your eyes upon me, that I will fight your battles for you? The hour is upon you, church, where you are going to have to fight as never before. The only true way to fight is by faith. I gave you a mustard seed faith, and it was your job to increase that faith and to make it grow into everlasting faith. What did you do with that little bit of faith you received when you was born again? Did you work at growing it? Or did you just not even realize it was there? Or did you just think that God was going to just supernaturally do things for you? You know, I was reading an article about Bob Larson, and he said when he's not on the road, he goes to his home church. A very nice church, and he said the pastor always gives a really good message. They have all kind of programs that cover everything. He said, but they don't do deliverance. But I said that to say this, you know how many churches do not teach on faith? They do not teach on faith, and so people are going to church not even having any faith. God said, I am a seed God, and I give you seeds to plant and nourish and watch them grow into strong trees of protection. That should be grown, not grown. I am a seed God, and I give you seeds to plant and nourish and watch them grow into strong trees of protection. My body has not worked on their faith. They were too busy building their kingdoms. They did not have time to nourish their walk with me. Is that what you see a lot of people doing? They take me so for granted. I am there, yes, but only to those who have been diligently seeking my face and trusting and believing that I am who I say I am. And they have done all this by faith, by increasing their faith to the point that the enemy can in no wise touch it. Now I'm going to stop and ask you, do you fall into this category? I am there, yes, but only to those who have been diligently seeking my face and trusting and believing that I am who I say I am. And they have done all this by faith, by increasing their faith to the point that the enemy can in no wise touch it. The enemy shouldn't be able to come by you and tear down your faith at all, ever, in any circumstance in your life. If God has spoken it, then it's going to come to pass. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws your way. I can guarantee you this morning when you left here, the enemy fought you about anger. He threw something in your path to try to get you to allow anger to come back in. And I hope you didn't allow it to come back in. I hope you fought and said, no, I'm not going there no more. In Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. What kind of faith are we supposed to have? Everlasting faith. In Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God goes from everlasting to everlasting, and God is eternal. Now listen to what I'm saying here. This is me saying this. Our faith comes from God. Therefore, I believe we can say that everlasting faith is eternal faith that never wanes. It never stops trusting God, no matter how tough the time gets. With all the studying I did, that's what I've come up with, and I believe that's the truth. If we serve an everlasting God, then, and we got his faith and was born again, then that everlasting faith comes from God, right? Now, the word everlasting is, in strictness, is that which endures forever, either that which has no beginning and will have no end. In other words, this everlasting faith that God wants you to pick up tonight is a faith that has no beginning and no end, and it will endure anything you have to go through. If you are, Jesus had everlasting faith. He endured the cross. He didn't give in to that. He endured it. When you're on an assignment, if you're serving an everlasting God, then you have to stick with that assignment no matter what it takes you through until it's finished. Because you have God's told you to do it, and you had faith to step into it. Now, you might not have known what you was getting into, but you had enough faith to say, okay, God, I'll do this thing. Now you have to have everlasting faith to help you walk through that mess that God placed you in. And that's why so many people don't fulfill an assignment, is because they don't have enough faith to believe that even though it's God who placed you there, that God can keep you while you're there. The fire gets hot, and you don't like the hotness of the fire, so you just walk away from your assignment. I know that the church does not walk in enough faith. And I know that the church walks more by sight than they do faith. I know that the church keeps their eyes on the circumstances and not using their faith to trust God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I have so much faith in my walk with God that I was praying for somebody the other day, and I said, you know, God, let's just stop. I'm going to talk to you about something. I said, you know, I love you and you love me. So I'm going to ask a favor of you. I want you to bless this person for me. I'm requesting that you bless them because I'm your daughter. And I'm believing that God is doing this, giving this person the miracle they need, just because I'm the daughter of the Father. And I do have faith. And I have faith to believe that he's going to honor my request. I really do. That's just how close I am to God. I just know that he loves me. And I know that he hears my prayers. And I know that he answers my prayers. Whether they're small, in between, or large, he answers my prayers. And if he's not going to answer in the way that I want him to, he'll say to me, daughter, I can't do it the way you want, but I'll do it the way it's best. But he didn't say anything about this. He just listened. And now I'm waiting for the miracle. Do you have everlasting faith? Do you have faith to believe that no matter if you're down to your last penny, that God's able to supply? Look around. You see how big our church is not. Do you know that there's churches around here that pastors don't understand how we can keep the doors open? God supplies our need abundantly. Well, do you make your people tithe? I said, I never talk about tithing. I said, the money's come from the outside also to keep these doors open. They're having a hard time keeping their doors open with the tithing. This is God's church. It's not mine. And God said, I told God, you said I can't close the doors. So therefore, you have to keep them open. You have to pay the bills. They're not my bills. They're your bills. I have faith. And I know God's going to see me through. I was telling my oldest daughter, you know, their father just passed away in February. And I was telling her how much I make a month. She said, Mom, how do you survive? I said, God. God keeps me. He keeps me. She said, I can't understand that. Even though she has faith, she just can't understand how I can keep a house going with what I make. Trust God. You're always going around moaning and groaning and complaining. Trust God. People are not your source. See, this is what you do. People do are the ones that send the money in, but God is my source, and God knows who has a source. You see what I'm saying? He always supplies, always. So God said, children, tonight is the night for me to give you everlasting faith, increasingly without measure faith, that will sustain you throughout the battles to come upon this earth. Listen to that again. Read that again. Tonight, God says, children, tonight is the night for me, for God, to give you everlasting faith, increasingly without measure faith, that will sustain you throughout the battles to come upon this earth. You young kids sitting there, you need this everlasting faith, because what's going to happen in the schools is awful, 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 awful. And you're going to have faith in order not to give in to the pressures in the schools or even in your workplace. You know, the enemy's after the young people, but believe me, I've been reading where other states, the young people are just getting saved, and they're getting radical for God, and they're staying saved, young people, and they're bringing others into the house of God. So if God wants to use the Lighthouse Church to bring revival in this area, what about you young kids being used to bring revival to the youth in this area? Wouldn't that be neat? I get excited about things like this. Instead of you sitting around thinking about what you're going to do, what evil you're going to do, sit around and think of how God can use you to perform miracles and get people saved, young people saved. And, you know, and everybody's saying, well, this is we have to gear up for the younger people's coming in. And that's probably true. You know, God gears up to anything. But, you know, we have to gear up for everybody. We can't forget about the middle people or the older people. Everybody needs this glory. Just not the young kids. Some of us older guys have been working for it for a long time, haven't we? And I'm not going to sit by and let you young snots get it. And I don't get it. I want my share of it too. Every one of you ought to be saying, God, I want that glory. That should be your heart's cry every day. I want that glory. And you know, I watch people come in and out of here, and I watch when they come in, they're so devastated, so torn apart by the enemy. And as they keep coming and they keep learning, I just watch your faces, they get softer and softer, and the next thing you know, I see the glory. Because they just received what God had for them. And that, and then in all that, then their faith starts growing. And then they get the everlasting faith. It doesn't matter if your pastor teaches about it. It's up to you to learn about it. It's up to you to build up your faith. They can't build up your faith. I can't build up your faith. I can give you this word that God gave us, but I can't make you take it and use it. I can't make you walk in everlasting faith. I can't make you quit doubting that God is God. I can't do that. That's something you have to do. You have to determine in your heart that God is God, and He is forever faithful. I mean to tell you, God is faithful. He is faithful. He might not do things the way you want them done, but he is faithful, and they will get done. But you're going to have faith to keep believing that he's going to do them. Jesus, he was tempted for 40 days right in the wilderness, and he kept saying to Satan, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan, it is written. Every time the enemy comes at you trying to get you to get off course, they get thee behind me, Satan, it is written. And then I also say, Satan, remember, it is finished. Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. So, you know, it's not going to be finished. It's already finished. My faith is already finished. My assignments for God are already finished in the spirit realm. And I have to still walk them out in the natural. But everything is already finished in the spirit realm. We just walk it out in the natural. And the enemy's going to try to make every one of us stop. He really is. He's going to put stumbling blocks. And I hear God say he's going to put blinders on your eyes. And he's going to do everything he can to cause you to lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. Build it up every day. Whatever God tells you to do, do it every day. Like he told you to shout hallelujah. How many of you go around shouting hallelujah? And that's building up your faith every time. I love that song we sing about hallelujah. That I love that song. It just brings my faith right on up to the top of the mountain. You have to build up your faith. You. How many people come to you and say, oh, well, God isn't going to do that? That's old doubting Thomas. And I say, well, you just keep watching. You're going to see it come to pass. And now those same people are saying, well, now, can you tell me a little more about this? You know, because they watched for years, and now they're seeing what I said is true. Now they want to know more about it because they want the same faith. Are you a teacher for everybody you run in contact with? Is your life, is it a book to them? And can they learn from your book? Are you understanding this? Tonight is your night. What did God call it? Everlasting faith, increasingly without measure faith. It's no measure. It's not a measure of faith like it does. There's scriptures. I could have got all kinds of scriptures about faith. But God wouldn't let me put them in there. He just wants you to know that he wants you to have everlasting faith. Everlasting faith. A faith with no end and no beginning is just all there, all the time. No matter what you're going through. The altar's open tonight for those of you who want God to drop on you this everlasting faith.